are we? Who are we? That's what I want to reflect with you for a few moments this morning. And the place I want to begin is with my own experience with this recent eclipse, total eclipse of the sun that happened just last Monday. And the anthem you guys sang, just shifting it just a little bit, you know, when the stars begin to fall or when the stars begin to shine in the middle of the day, something has happened. And indeed, maybe the best way to describe it is we're used to sunset coming with the sun setting in the west and the darkness coming from the east. But with us, where we were in southern Kentucky, the sun was setting straight ahead above us, and the sunset happened in 360 degrees all around us. And so the very quality of the air changed, and the quality of the light changed, because as the sun became more and more of a crescent, the light pattern shifted. And if you were near a tree, the light filtering through the tree, there were hundreds of little crescents on the ground. And if you made a little waffle board thing with your hands, which you do regularly, you either get a circle or a square, but if you just made a rough one, there were crescents, little, and they kept shrinking. Everywhere, the light became crescent-like, which just changed everything. We all looked around. It was just like, what is this? There's no words for it because it's such a rare phenomenon. And the temperature went from the low 90s to the upper 70s. As it got darker and darker, the evening birds came out and started grabbing the mosquitoes and gnats. And then as it got very dark, birds all got quiet, everything got quiet, and then the sun vanished. It was black, and the shimmering little white corona was all around. And the stars, like the anthem, the stars popped out. And there was this spontaneous cheer from this about 2,000 folks that were at this community park in Franklin, Kentucky. And just this welling up of sound. And then there was a hush for about 2 minutes as this darkness just descended upon us. And then there was this little ruby light on the side of the sun. And then this diamond flash as the sun suddenly returned. And light, the crescent light started happening again. And many people, as they walked by, just commented on how it just felt like the whole world in that flash had been reborn. Everything just felt new. We were all stunned, and the way many people dealt with the stun was they rushed back to their cars, I think trying to get ahead of the traffic, which I'm sure they failed. But one woman who was obviously stunned, heading to her car, said, "I need to get to my car because I've got to cry, and I just don't want anybody to see." So I don't know how many people were driving away crying. It was just such an experience like that. Our little group, there were about 8 of us, and there were other groups like this. We just all got quiet, and a couple of folks just felt like it had hit them in their solar plexus. They just lay flat on the grass, just kind of taking it all in. And we just were there kind of almost zombie-like for a little bit, just kind of, what is this? And then we kind of pulled ourselves together and then just had this sense of we just experienced something remarkable that lasted about 2 minutes, and yet everything's different. Which raises the question, who are we? Who are we human beings that we can have such experiences of wonder and awe that change us in some mysterious way, too deep for words, taking us to deep places? What is this being human about anyway? Which takes us right to the gospel lesson. There's Jesus with the disciples in the rush and press and push of ministry and conflict and people asking for this and that and the other, and it's all moving. And then Jesus gets them together, makes them all sit down, and says, Who do people say that I am? And then they start with a discussion. Well, some say Elijah, some say Jeremiah, you know, a little of this, a little of that. And then suddenly Peter has his own diamond flash. And he looks straight at Jesus and he says, You are the Christ. And Jesus is the one who's stunned, because here's waffling, uncertain Peter, who's ready to go this way and that way, always enthusiastic in all the different directions. Suddenly, Peter has dropped down into something deeper, into this moment, and he sees this deeper reality, and he sees Jesus for who Jesus really is, which is he's the Christ, whatever that means. It's like, I don't, you know, saying you're the Christ doesn't give you a whole theology. It just says something different is here. Something really different is here. And Peter's experienced it. And Jesus says, you are the rock. Which, as we know from later in the gospel, doesn't mean Peter now is going to be a stalwart and faithful, because he's still going to do his denials, and he's going to, later in the book of Acts, going to have problems with Paul. No, it's that experience of dropping down, of experiencing something deep and holy that grabs Peter, and Jesus knows that experience will always bring him back to center, no matter how far he wanders. And so Jesus, having that experience with Peter, tells all of them to get quiet, get still, absorb it. Don't go talking about this because you don't know what you're talking about. Just take it in and listen. So this is one dimension of what it means to be human, of who we are. We are creatures who are able to be touched by the holy and be stunned, however it comes, by something new that takes us to deep places. It's so easy to forget that, and yet that's who we are. And we forget that because there's this other whole dimension of life. We also are fragile creatures, and we're all too aware of how fragile, how mortal we are. Hurricanes come, floods come, unexpected deaths of loved ones, even expected deaths of loved ones. Our own frailty, a fall at camp in the night, a wrist is broken, upending a vacation. Small and large events can happen so quickly that just change everything. Such is life. And so as a result of this dimension of life, we human beings, most of the time, work really hard to manage, to control, to dominate things. And if you think about it for a few moments, the deep urge we have to accumulate money, to accumulate whatever status and power we have, to often accumulate very narrow and rigid beliefs about who's in, who out, who's out, all of that comes a lot from this deeper sense of fragility that we have. We try to have this illusion of control that none of that stuff will happen to me if I have enough money in the bank or enough investments over here or enough status in the community or enough people know my name or this, that, or the other, or if I have the right beliefs, it'll get me into heaven, whatever happens, it'll all be fixed. The illusion of control that gets into us. And in our scriptures, the Pharaoh embodies that reality. Wealth, power, status, and he's the one speaking the beliefs. The rich and the powerful are often so ready to hurt individuals and groups in the world to try to protect their own fragile egos. That's why Pharaoh goes after the Hebrew people, the Hebrew slaves. Kill them. He's being mean, maybe because he's just mean, but probably because he's trying to protect himself. Protect himself by projecting this large image of power and might, and everybody, you know, if today I can go after the Hebrews, tomorrow I can go after this group, or you. And so it gives him this sense of power and dominance, that he's in control and nothing will ever touch him. Too often, this dimension of life, this fearful, grasping for control dimension of life, ends up completely eclipsing the wonder and awe dimension of life. Too often, that's what happens. Just think about it. Too often, we believe what the powerful say, whether they're out there or whether it's inside of us. We succumb to the urge to divide, to hurt, to wound others. others that are of a different color or race or sexual orientation, or others in our own families, our spouses, even our kids, will hurt and wound, and we won't know quite why we do this. Isn't it usually because of, well, we're afraid? And somehow we instinctively have this sense, if I'm afraid, if I hurt you, I'll feel better. But it's a human thing. We do this. And that's what the Pharaoh is doing. And the tragedy, the human tragedy of life continues. Pharaoh lived a long time ago. And yet you can look at some of our leaders and it feels like we're just living the same old story. So what if that diamond flash of awareness came upon us? What if we were able to be like Peter and to see everything in a different light? What would that be like? Well, then basically we would be the midwives in the story. These two women who were in the biblical tradition would be called little people. People with very little ego, very little status, very little power, very little money or might. And yet, they are people of skill, of ability, of talent, and they see the world differently. As Exodus says, they fear the Lord, which is the Bible way of talking about living from a place of wonder and awe. They see the world differently. Not fearfully, that's the other dimension, but fear of God is this wonder and awe of amazement at the sheer, what is this world? And so they respond differently and calmly. And they just simply defy the Pharaoh and walk a different path, like Robert Frost talks about. Civil disobedience, a sense of humor, deep abiding faithfulness. That's just who they are. They're bedrock. They're solid. They're grounded. They're rooted. And the egotism and the evil of the world cannot stand against it. It shatters, it dissolves, it gets outwitted, it just doesn't know what to do. And so right there in Exodus, we have a new world being experienced right in the midst of the old world. The scriptures are honest. You know, we're not going to get rid of this other dimension easily or quickly. And yet, these threads of life keep going. And so in chapter 3, little baby Moses comes along, gets put in a little basket in the river, and the Pharaoh's daughter takes him in, and he's a Hebrew child, but we'll get this woman to take care of him, turns out to be his mother. And so the story goes on, and Pharaoh gets outwitted another whole way, and later on we know Moses outwits Pharaoh in much larger ways. But it starts with little people doing little things, poof, diamond flash, things change. So the scriptures this morning, and I would contend the eclipse of last week, invite us to walk a different path. Can we be such people? Or maybe a better way, who are we? Who are you? Who am I? Who are we? We are the beloved of Christ. We are the beloved of Christ. Let us live in that light. Amen.